Cue the fancy intro music. This is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom gives you the tips, tools, and resources you need to define and achieve success on your own terms, so you can make great money doing what you love and have the time and freedom to enjoy it. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Robin Young. Let's get started. Well, well, well. Welcome back to season 6 of Creative Freedom. I go away for a few months and the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. And if you've only been listening to the podcast and haven't been visiting my blog, then you've missed a lot. Our last episode was in April, and since then, I've gotten married to a wonderful guy, bought a house, did a complete changeover in my support team. We also said goodbye to a few programs and launched some new offerings this year. We also held our annual client retreat in a virtual format instead of meeting in person this year. That was an interesting adventure and a new experiment that actually worked much better than we expected. So we'll probably be doing it again in 2021. So it's been busy. So busy, in fact, that despite the roller coaster that COVID-19 brought to the world in 2020, I've had one of my best years on record, both personally and professionally. Our wedding was a hybrid event, thanks to the global lockdown, which means that I had friends and family all over the world that got to watch me get hitched at this teeny tiny little ceremony that we did here in Mississippi. And a few friends and family were able to make the trip to be with us in person. One of my best friends was our officiant at the wedding. And so that just made the day even more special to have people who couldn't have traveled even if they'd wanted to be able to be present and witness our matrimonial union was pretty exciting for me. And probably the biggest news of the year was the presidential election. 45 is on the way out, 46 is on the way in. And regardless of your opinion on the candidates, this election was a momentous breakthrough event for our country. We have our first woman of color in the White House. Now, Kamala Harris, like every other person in the world, is far from perfect. And yet, this is something women everywhere need to be excited about. This is an opening. She's created an opening. And so many other women paved the way for her to be here. Let's not forget, when I was a kid, Geraldine Ferraro and Walter Mondale ran for the presidency, and Geraldine Ferraro was the vice presidential candidate, and they didn't win, right? So they did it. There were other women who've tried to be the vice president before. So it's even more remarkable and noteworthy that it's Harris that ultimately broke the barrier for women, and especially mixed race women of color, of which I am one. And much like when Roger Bannister ran that first mile in under 4 minutes, Kamala Harris just showed the world what's possible, showed us what's possible, that we can have a woman of color in the White House. That to me is very much what we're about here at Creative Freedom, going after your dreams, defining success on your own terms. Regardless of your opinion of Harris, this election was momentous. Let me also add that I don't normally go on about things like this, about my personal life in our episodes, but this year has been all kinds of wackadoodle, just weird. So I figured it was important to at least give a little bit of a recap of what's been going on since our hiatus back in April. 2020 has been a year of big, impactful changes. Okay, some of them we wanted, some of them we never could have imagined. And yet here we are together learning to navigate those changes. In business news, this house that we bought gives me a permanent office, yay, and a studio to shoot the show with a setup that includes a green screen wall and plenty of light. So yes, for those of you who also watch the video show, you're gonna be seeing us having fun with that this season. And we're experimenting with some new music videos and parodies, some of which you may have already seen or heard if you're one of our patrons over on Patreon. We're going to be releasing those to keep pace with our show episodes. So if you want to get a sneak peek, you need to be a patron. Otherwise, just be patient and you'll get to them as we release them. Speaking of which, we've already confirmed a 20-episode season this year, so we've got a whole bunch of new content that we're going to share with you. And some of it is coming from the new book that I'm working on. And we've started back on album number 4. We've got seven songs in the can. Presently, by the time this episode is actually released, we may have more of them done. But we've got a full slate of songs on the way, so fingers crossed we're going to be able to get that done in 2021. And if you are new and this is the first episode that you're tuning into, firstly, welcome. Secondly, we're starting this a little differently this year. And thirdly, you may not know that I was certified early in 2020 as a Fix This Next advisor. That's the business problem solving model that Mike Michalowicz developed in his book by the same name. And we've seen an uptick in show subscribers because of the Fix This Next episodes that I did in early, mid-2020. We've been working with our clients to help implement Fix This Next so that they can pinpoint their biggest problem and finally fix it so their businesses can be stronger and healthier than ever before, really. And I have to say that for half my incubator clients, this has been their best year yet in their business. That's exciting to me in light of everything that's been going on in 2020. So if you're interested in learning more about how we can help you over here at Creative Freedom HQ, be sure to hop on over to our website at creativefreedomshow.com and you can learn more. So yeah, busy, busy year. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Except, well, okay, maybe an end to this pandemic. Am I right? Like, that would be great. But otherwise, I'm really happy with the way 2020 has turned out. All right, so now that we've got that covered, we're coming at you right now with episode 1, all about building a business that's true to who you are and what really matters to you. For years now, you've heard me say, own your dreams without selling your soul. And not selling your soul is probably one of the biggest reasons you became a creative entrepreneur. If you're like most of the folks that I've met over the years, we hear stories about artists that sell out or people who do something just for the money, and we want to wrinkle our noses. Now, don't get me wrong. I think most of us who are in creative fields have felt the pressure to do a project for the exposure or because the income meant the difference between keeping the lights on and being homeless. So to be clear, there is no shame in that. You got to do what you got to do to take care of you. Okay. I've taken on clients I'd rather have turned away. And it only affirmed my resolve to never do that again, to be in a position so that I didn't have to do that again. But it's a sad state of our culture and our society that most of us have been there at one time or another in our careers. I wish it didn't have to be that way. I look forward to the day when it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And it's a reality for a lot of us. And it doesn't have to be that way. Okay. My experience and that of many of my clients is that the more we align our goals to our values, the easier it is to feel the success that we're craving, to actually experience success right now instead of waiting for it to arrive someday somewhere out there. As I've said before, success is a destination and you're already there. So if you don't like what success looks like today, it's time for something different. And that's part of what happened during our hiatus. I took a long look at where things were falling out of alignment for me and what needed to shift if I wanted to feel successful in ways that mattered to me. I recognized it was time for something different. We opened up the incubator to be able to serve more people, and we've started migrating all our courses and programs into a new learning platform. I've hired several new team members to help me focus my workload and deliver an even better experience for you, our clients. And as I looked at how we were doing what we were doing, I realized this was something that I hadn't really discussed with you before. Now, sure, I've announced changes in the past, but I've not really talked about why. Sometimes it's a financial decision to do something that makes financial sense, but most of the time, the changes that I'm making in my business are about bringing the business more and more in alignment with who I am and what matters to me. So that's what we're going to talk about today. If somewhere along your journey, you find that your business is becoming less and less true to you, or if you're wanting to start a business that is true to your creative nature from the start, then ta-da, this episode is for you. And By tada, I mean TADA, a simple way for you to remember how to build a soulful business that is true to you. The T stands for trust, as in trust yourself. A colleague of mine once taught me that your body is like a smoke detector. It sends you warning signals all the time, if you're paying attention. Okay, so let's take 10 seconds right now to scan your body. Check your breath. What do you notice? What feels right? And what feels amiss? Pause the recording if you have to. I'll be here when you get back. There. Is that better? Does that feel better? Are you feeling a little more comfortable right now? A client of mine had surgery in 2020 and found it really difficult to sit through our coaching sessions because of the discomfort from the surgery. So when we checked in to see what their body needed, they excused themselves for the room and then came back with a pillow. Took maybe a total of 3 minutes, but those precious minutes of really listening and trusting that your body really does know what it needs and then providing it, those minutes are priceless. There's so much relief in that. Humans have evolved over centuries, and our survival skills are on point. Our bodies will tell us when things don't feel right. But if we ignore those signs often enough, we stop trusting ourselves. And we stop trusting ourselves with everything. Self-doubt becomes our standard operating procedure. And that's not your natural wiring. You've essentially rewired yourself to ignore your own instincts. Now, the good news is that you can reset yourself too. Now, it takes effort, and you can start small with micro habits that you build up over time. So begin by decreasing your input. Okay, my coach has me sit and be still for 15 minutes every day, doing nothing, not trying to meditate, just being still. I sit in my office and I look out the window at our backyard with, you know, like no particular agenda. I just sit and I notice, being present to me without trying to work at it or think too hard. You know, the first few times I had the itches, bitches, and twitches like crazy. And I've been a regular meditator for years, but I mean, I couldn't meditate. I just had to be still, decrease my input so that I could be with what was going on with my body. Overconsumption of information when we are looking for answers leads to burnout and overwhelm. Linears and fusions, I'm talking to you in particular. Be selective about the channels and platforms you choose to pay attention to. Limit your intake of stimulus. One of my clients regularly limits screen time by taking no tech days during the month. From 9 to 5, no technology. And you don't have to eliminate anything that you don't want to. Just recognize that too much stimulus, too much input, not only distracts you from what's going on with your mind and your body, but it also disconnects you from it. And yeah, at first it might create all kinds of feelings and physical sensations that don't feel so great, but that's just your body trying to get a handle on reconnecting to you. You may find yourself second-guessing yourself out of habit, but here's the thing. You already have everything you need in this moment to handle what's coming at you in this moment. So take a breath and lean into the discomfort. Listen to your body and let it tell you what it needs. Then, and this is a big one, honor it. Hey, even if it seems silly or trivial, don't ignore it or brush it off. Like, really listen to and find a way to honor what your body wants from you. And yeah, you may have to do some negotiating. If your body wants to sleep all day and you've got some deadlines, you may need to negotiate for like an hour nap now and more sleep when the work is done. But listen to your body because it knows what it needs. And the more you practice honoring yourself and what your body needs, the easier it is to trust yourself. Now, this is something most chaotic creatives do naturally, but even they can have moments of self-doubt when they're venturing into new territory. Remember that you've got gifts your world needs. You're great at them, and serving your world doesn't have to come at the expense of your well-being. you can build a business that aligns with what you want, with who you are, with your values and beliefs. You don't have to adopt someone else's script or blueprint for success. Just trust yourself. You got this. Now, if you remain unconvinced, let me introduce you to A in ta-da, which stands for awareness, specifically self-awareness. It's easier to trust yourself when you have clarity around what you're good at or what you want or what you don't want in life and business. I talk a lot about being ruthlessly honest with yourself, and that means dropping the judgment and just having an awareness of what's true for you. If you're currently operating your business or your life, for that matter, in a way that isn't working because it's what you're quote unquote supposed to be doing or quote unquote should be doing, or because it pays the bills, then it's no wonder your soul's not in it. Tap into what you really want and go for that. Now, Fusions, hear me on this. You don't have to pick one thing. You do, however, need to lead with one thing at a time to make it easier for people to understand the breadth of your awesomeness. Now, the example that I use all the time is the Eagles, that rock supergroup that's made up of extremely talented musicians who are all solo superstar performers in their own right. When they all come together, though, they don't all sing lead at the same time. One guy sings lead, and then when that song's over, the next guy sings lead, and everyone else supports that lead singer to make sure the performance is the best that it can be. And I firmly believe that if a grown-ass man can make a living unboxing action figures on YouTube, there's a market for what you want to do. You just have to find it. What do you really want to be doing? Do that. If you're not sure, or maybe you're older and you're feeling a little gun-shy about things, that's cool. I've known many folks who've been down that road. After years of doing what you should be doing, you've got that nice, comfortable job, you want to do something different. So here I come saying, do what you want, and maybe that feels overwhelming. Notice, though, I didn't say jump in headfirst without doing your due diligence. Instead, give yourself permission to experiment, to play, and to see what comes up for you. Create enough space in your calendar and budget to be able to try some new things without a lot of pressure around making them produce revenue right away. Some of my best offers flopped the first time I launched them. The market wasn't ready yet, or I needed to tweak it to make it more appealing. And you may not be able to make the jump completely, especially if you're relying on the income from work you don't enjoy. But are you willing to explore finding alternatives? If you're willing to try, you may just find a new path that works better for you without having to quit what you're currently doing at all, or all at once at the very least. Okay, that's the nature of a side hustle. You develop it on the side of whatever your main income source is. Now, for most people, that's going to be their day job, but it could also be something new that you develop alongside your current creative work. I have a graphic design client that's pretty busy with design projects and is working on a branding course behind the scenes. Well, there's no pressure attached to this course, and she's working on it a little bit at a time as she is able. Now, when it rolls out, whenever that is, we're not expecting 500 people to sign up either. The initial goal is to just get it created and get a few buyers into the program. Now, more would be nice, but we're setting dumb goals here. Doable, understandable, meaningful, and believable. Dumb goals. It's not believable right now that she'll pull in 500 enrollments, but 3 to 5 seems very believable right now. So that's the goal, and only when she's ready. There's no pressure. We don't want to try and create pressure and make that thing the thing that creates all of her revenue for her because it's new and it's untested. Don't do that to yourselves. Here's something else to consider when it comes to the work that you do just for the money. For most creatives, money isn't even the motivating factor for why you do what you do. It's necessary to pay the bills and whatnot, but it's not the big why behind what you do. It's the creation and the thing that you want to be known for that actually motivates you, for most of us. Okay, making money is great. It truly is. And if you're only in it for the money, you're probably going to feel like you've got a job and not true creative freedom. Are you creating a job for yourself? There's nothing wrong with that if you want a job, but if you're looking for more creative freedom, you need to think about what's in alignment with your values and your beliefs and what you really want. And I hear you now. Well, how am I supposed to find the time when I'm so dang busy? Especially in our current climate with everybody at home and all the distractions that take me off task. Oh, Calgon, take me away! Well, maybe it's time to step into the D of ta-da, delegation. Now, I've written several posts on the blog recently about delegation and the importance of having help inside your business. We've done episodes on that before. You can also ask for help in your personal life. Whether you're bringing on a part-time VA or somebody to help around the house, it doesn't have to be expensive, and the time you free up could be just the ticket to helping you step into a more soulful role in your business. Begin by looking at your tasks, both inside and outside your business, for the things that suck the joy out of you. Now, the easiest ones to delegate will probably be the ones that you can do in your sleep, but that you don't love. Okay, they're the easiest because you can train somebody quickly. And then if something goes off the rails, you can still pick it back up and run with it for a little while until you can pass it off again. Another place to look is stuff that's clearly out of your wheelhouse. If the toilet needs fixing and you have no idea, you're more likely to hire a plumber than you are to hop on YouTube and watch a bunch of how-to videos to try and figure out how to fix your toilet. The same holds true in your business. Take back your power by delegating the tasks that don't align with your strengths. If you've taken my assessment, then you know what those strengths are. You also know some of the challenges of your creative type. Chaotics are great when it comes to creating an experience for their clients, but will stress themselves to the breaking point if they're forced to do the numbers all the time. Linears are great with the numbers, but they don't tend to see the bigger picture of the experience. Fusions can see all of it, but get overwhelmed and won't ask for help because they think they should do everything that they're good at. Let me be clear. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's meant for you to do it. It just means you've got experience doing it. You've got a lot of practice at it. Now, if you're good at something and you enjoy it, then by all means, keep it on your plate. If not, it might be time to start looking at ways to get it off your plate, even if it's only a little bit at a time. And if you're not sure where to begin, start by asking for help to get some clarity. That could be a friend or a family member or even a coach or a consultant to help you see more clearly where to begin. Even assessments like the Creative Freedom Entrepreneur Type Quiz or the Fix This Next assessment can be great places to start, and they don't cost a thing. Your answers might give you all the clarity you need to take your next steps. Now, speaking of delegation, there's a whole series of modules on delegation inside the Creative Freedom Incubator, our sponsor for this episode. The incubator is one part coaching and one part hands-on business support for creative entrepreneurs. We actually go into your business and help with the marketing, the admin, and the operations so that you can free yourself up to do the things that only you can do. You're also getting coaching support to help you make better business decisions and build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love. You can apply for the pay for results model, or you can subscribe at the level that works best for you. Just go to lisarobinyoung.com/incubator to learn more. As a fusion creative, I resisted asking for help for a long time. I started by asking my family for more support, like honoring me and my work by not interrupting me during my work hours. Work when it's time to work, play when it's time to play. And then I asked for specific help with things like chores to take them off my plate so that I could increase my focus. You may not realize all the mental and energetic bandwidth that goes into just meal planning and meal prep. And add to that all the other household tasks you've got to navigate in a week, and it's easy to see where all your time and energy goes. Now, in our house right now, it's just me and Jim most of the time. During the summer, we have kids here too, but even when it's just the two of us, there's figuring out what to fix for dinner, and then actually fixing it at a time that lines up with both our schedules. And that's a lot of spoons for just one meal. And then there's the dishes, and that doesn't count the other tasks like planning the menu and ordering the groceries, which we do one week at a time. And if there are more people, it requires more spoons. So during the summer, I delegate one meal a week to my kid and one to Jim, and they do the dishes so that I don't have to. And it means I get to spend more of my work time focused on my work so that I can focus on my family during family time. Otherwise, I'm in the kitchen or my office all the time and I never get to spend any time with them. The other thing I've done is hire folks to help me with specific tasks in my business, like a photographer, an editor, or a graphic designer for my book, or other projects that had a clear beginning and ending. We hired a copywriter to outline all the episodes for this season's show. And I've never done that before. And I was really nervous about how it would turn out. But I realized that I needed somebody else to create the bones of each show so that all I had to do was script and shoot. And it opened up the door to doing some of the cool stuff that I've wanted to do for a long time, like music parodies and music videos that I just didn't have the bandwidth for. I didn't have the spoons. I didn't have the time. I was too busy doing all the other stuff. This copywriter saved me easily 8 hours per episode. Easily. That's a huge blessing. Okay. And that's time reclaimed that I could put towards other stuff that I really wanted to be doing. In fact, this year, the team is growing and morphing to include 2 designers, a video editor, 2 VAs, and a team leader to manage things. And getting there took time, okay? I've been at this for more than 25 years, so don't think you have to hire a team of 6 in your first year, but you also don't have to wait 20 years, okay? Do what's appropriate for your company. Check in with your body and see how it feels. And I gotta say, none of these people are full-time, right? They're doing small projects and small tasks on a daily or weekly basis to keep the business running. But I'm not hiring anybody full time because I need people who have different skill sets. If I could find one person who had all the things that I needed, I would definitely hire them. But there is no other me in the world. And that's okay. Right? That's just the way things are. Now, before we hit the last A, let me also remind you that just like a smoke detector sends you signals, your body alone isn't gonna give you all the information you need to make decisions. Chaotics will very often say, well, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not doing it. There's just no juice there for me. Okay. Sometimes that energy can actually prevent you from doing the very thing that you need to be doing simply because it's hard. I don't wanna do that because it's hard. I get resistance. Or because you've got some other resistance to it. So like a smoke detector, you need to check for other factors as well. When the smoke alarm goes off in my kitchen, I don't run screaming out of the house going, oh my God, there's a fire, and then call the fire department. The first thing I do is check to see what's what. Because maybe I'm cleaning the stove and it got a little smoky in the house. Or maybe the kitchen really is ablaze and it's time to call the fire department. The smoke alarm goes off either way. It's up to you to assess the situation and figure out what to do next. And the same goes for your body. If you're getting a weird feeling about something or not feeling anything at all, don't make assumptions. Check things out. Use your body's signals as an awareness tool. But don't jump to judgment until you've done your research and checked things out. If you're not feeling it and there's no juice there, okay, so what about that means that there's no juice there? Is it something specific? Like, I don't like that format? Or the timing doesn't feel right? Like, get clear on why are you not feeling it right now? That's important information that keeps you focused on what's important instead of giving into the resistance that keeps you from making progress. Once you have checked in and checked it out, then it's time for that final A, authenticity. Be genuine with yourself and your audience. It's the single best way to create a business that's true to you. Why? Because you're being true. While the masks that we wear may protect us from others or protect others from us, if people never get to experience the real you, then it's kind of hard for them to fall in love with you. They're falling in love with that mask. That creates a vicious cycle of pretending to be what you're not in order to keep other people happy, which only makes you more unhappy. So what makes you you? You are the single most important product that your company has to offer. I have been saying that since I first started teaching online. People want to know you and do business with a real person. They chose you for a reason. Okay, let your stories, your values, and the impact that you want to create in your world drive your business. Don't be afraid to speak those values and share those stories. Does that mean some people are going to not like you? Sure. My whole opening today about Kamala Harris and women of color in the White House is going to piss some people off. So my right people get it. My right people understand what that means for me. My right people want to celebrate that. And I'm here for that. I am here for that all day. Stay true to your stories. Show up in ways that are in alignment with who you say you are and how you want to be known. Stop compromising yourself and your integrity. and draw a line in the sand on that stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the first few times it's going to feel hard, awkward, or even like you're spinning your wheels. I think we recorded that opening like 5 times before I stopped tripping over myself and feeling weird about it. Okay? Awkward happens, but stay the course. Because it is worth it to be more you and feel more at home in your own skin. So not long ago, a successful businessman wanted to pick my brain about my pay-for-results business model. And I get requests like this all the time. They're like, you're actually making money with that? How's that working for you? And sometimes I sit down with people and sometimes I don't. This guy was developing a new nonprofit, okay? And he wanted my insights on how to make it work. Now, just because he's building a nonprofit doesn't mean that I am. So I gave him my pick your brain rate for an hour of my time. And he countered back by saying, oh, that was too rich for his blood, considering that this was for a nonprofit. Now, he had the money. He just didn't want to put it towards the nonprofit, which says a lot about his character and who he was as a person, but I won't go down that road today, okay? I countered back that my rate was a drop in the bucket compared to the potential revenue that a company like that could generate even as a nonprofit. Because look, I've had people sit with me and in less than 30 minutes, we map out a business model or an offer for them that generates them $15,000 in less than a day. I know I am worth it. I have no problem saying that. But he wouldn't budge. So I'm like, well, I got plenty of free resources on my website and there are plenty of interviews that I've done about the pay for results model all over the internet. Happy hunting. Enjoy yourself. Feel free to check those out. And if you change your mind, I'm here. My rate's not going to change. And I never heard from him again, which is fine. It's both empowering and frustrating to walk away from a conversation like that because yeah, you want to help them and yeah, the revenue would be nice. But at the same time, I got to stand my ground on what's really important to me and what my values are. Right? He didn't try to make an appeal to my, you know, good-hearted self and, oh, this is for a good cause. He never tried to play that card at all. And if he had, I probably would have been a little bit softer on him. But I'm like, you are a successful business guy, owner of a big company, gonna launch a nonprofit that's basically a tax deduction for your company, and you can't invest $500, $600 to sit down with me for an hour? No, thank you. Not happening. Okay? You gotta stay true to yourself. And here's the thing. A few days later, I signed a brand new client who came out of the blue for the exact rate that I quoted that guy. So that money came in just from somebody else, all right? The money's not always going to come from the places that you expect. And you're definitely going to face some disappointment in your business career. That's business. The cycles are ups and downs. It's how these things go. But staying true to yourself is hands down the number one way to experience the success that you've been looking for. Not only in your business, but in your life, for who you are as a human being. Okay, I'm stepping down off my, my soapbox now. I want to take a minute here to thank you for helping us make a bigger impact in the world. We really appreciate our sponsors, our patrons, and every like, share, tweet, follow, or review that you post about our show, Creative Freedom. We are still one of the fastest growing shows for creative entrepreneurs because of your help and others just like you. And I'm really humbled and honored that we've been able to do this for now 6 seasons. So thank you for that. And now it's over to you. In our Rising Tide Learning Library this week, you're going to find a handy mini workbook to help you bring your business in alignment or back in alignment with what's true for you. Take the time to fill it out completely. Love those handy little fillable PDFs, and you'll have some deeper insights into what needs to shift in your business or your life to help you feel more successful now instead of waiting for it to be somewhere out there beyond the present moment. Next time, when we get together, we're going to talk about how to find a profitable niche for doing what you love, or niche, depending on how you pronounce it. And we've talked about this before, but this time we're going to come at it from a slightly different angle. So I hope that you're going to join me for that because that would be really awesome. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.